Hello, everybody. It is Chase Rustamatio and Caleb Stern. Happy
Hey, what's
Hanukkah,
going
Caleb.
on? Oh yeah, thank you. Actually, last night of Hanukkah was yesterday for me.
How was your Hanukkah, Caleb?
Hanukkah was fantastic. I made potato latkes on the first night, which was awesome. I'd make it with a little bit of horseradish and some matzo meal, and
That sounds really good.
my mother sent me some presents that I could open every night out here in Los Angeles. So it was pretty low key, but definitely a good Hanukkah. Sadly, I didn't actually have a menorah, so some may argue I wasn't even able to celebrate it, but I tried to do a couple things.
Sounds like you did a pretty good job. I'll be playing hockey on Christmas Day, so I'll be
Yeah,
doing
there you
less to
go.
celebrate Christmas.
Yeah,
Well,
but
yeah, I guess it's a good thing.
That's probably a good thing, exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited
So,
for it.
yeah, very exciting. You want to get into this though?
Yeah, let's get this show on the road. This is going to be our December episode, last of the year, our fourth ever episode. So, Caleb and I are really excited. November was a huge month for international hockey. So, we have a lot of really fun things to talk about.
Yeah, almost too many
Just a
things to choose
few.
from. So we picked
Yeah,
what
really
we
too
thought
many
were the
things,
best.
honestly. Going over some housekeeping quick. We want to give a shout out to the National Teams of Ice Hockey website and Facebook for kind of giving us a podcast a shout out. We get a lot of news from them, so it's been
Yeah,
it was
that was.
really nice of them to do that, and they're a great website, so definitely check them out if you want, like, if you hear something we talk about and you kind of want to know more information, I'm sure you could find it over at their site because they're a really nice guy. When I reached out to him, one of
Yeah.
our viewers actually told us to reach out to him. I reached out to him and he got back to me super quick and was like, sure, I'd love to help you guys out. So
And believe it or not, he posts many times more stuff. I mean, it's just like a ton of stuff. So if you guys are even more interested in international hockey, definitely check him out. So I
yeah, for
also
sure.
wanted to shout out to Martin St. Louis.
Yeah, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He is, if I probably had to pick a favorite hockey player of all time, it'd probably be him. He went to the University of Vermont, and when I was young, I have family in Vermont. I got to meet him after he'd won the Stanley Cup. He signed a hat for me. I wore the hat before every game for years and years and years. I still do. It's
It's
really
nasty though
grody.
now.
It's really grody now. I
It is
can't wear
rancid,
it to
so
school.
you're
So
lucky
my mom,
nobody
it
listens
destroyed
and
her
see
brain
it.
in the wash. But regardless, shout out to him. And yeah, let's get into our first news story. Caleb, you wanna just ring us off the bat here?
All right, I will ring you off the bat, whatever that means. Let's talk about Colombia. Colombia came up big, winning their Latam Cup hosted in no other than Coral Springs, Florida, which is home of the Ice Den, which Panthers fans, of course, know is one of the Florida Panthers practice facilities. And so that was a tournament with a bunch of Central American teams and South American teams. And so Argentina came in second, and Mexico placing after them, and then Venezuela and Brazil getting last place.
Yeah, so I this was a great tournament. I love seeing a lot of times it's harder for these like South American nations to really bring to get themselves together because they have a lack of ice maybe in a lot of countries and just a lack of resources and money. So a lot of times it's hard to get these players in these tournaments. And I think what the Florida Panthers did and kind of like centralizing this and making this tournament was really awesome. They also got to meet a lot of the Panthers players and like discuss and talk to them, which is just incredible. And just like kudos to them for like kind of growing the game. And I really hope they do it again next year. The Florida Panthers organization and the Ice Den already said they'd love to have every team back, so I'm sure they will. And I'm not too surprised Colombia has been doing pretty well in these smaller ice hockey tournaments that they have been doing for the past 5 or so years. And they have some good players. They have one guy who played in the ECHL last year for the Florida Everblades. So, yeah, I'm not too surprised, but it's great to see all these nations playing each other because you know they're just going to get better and better when they play each other every year. So I'm excited to see the growth of all these nations.
Yeah, very exciting tournament. It's too bad we can't find a whole lot on specific statistics from the tournament and who scored what and who got what assists. But very interesting tournament. And yeah, as you said, hopefully we'll get another tournament next year that we can look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And our next piece of news, something that Caleb and I can be proud of, the United States women's team won their fourth straight Four Nations Cup. A lot of fours there. They beat Canada 5-2. So now the U.S. women are the reigning world champions, the reigning Olympic champions, and they won this tournament. They're truly, I think, the best hockey nation in the world right now. Finland and Sweden routed up in third and fourth spots in that tournament.
So let's just talk about for a second how unsurprising this is. Because really, I mean, USA hockey is fantastic, but let's talk about women's USA hockey. I mean, women's USA hockey is absolutely in a league of its own.
Yeah, they've won in the past decade. The U.S. has won just an ungodly amount of world championships over Canada. And I think it's really awesome. They finally got the burden off their back. They weren't able to win the Olympics for a long time, but then they finally got that off this year, actually, in 2018, almost next year. And it's also great because last year during the world championships, there was that big thing where the women's had a strike because they weren't getting paid and, like, they were kind of not getting what they were promised from USA Hockey. And so USA Hockey was reaching out to, like, basically make a second team of players that would go. But, like, all the players asked to play said no. Like, I've always, like, a lot of players were like, I've dreamt of playing for the United States my whole life, but this isn't how I'm going to play or, like, how I wanted it to ever, like, how I ever wanted to make that goal become reality just because, like, the best players didn't want to go. And so, like, all the girls across the nation that kind of stood up and like got what they wanted. And I think that was awesome. They ended up winning that world championship as well. So yeah, regardless, I'm really happy for the United States women and I'm hoping they can continue getting this ball rolling.
And let's just say, I mean, they lost in 2014 to Canada at Sochi Games, that set of Olympics. But other than that, they have won since. All right, so you ready? 2015, yep. 2016, and 2017, and this year. So it's four straight they've won at Four Nations Cup. This was their fourth straight. And at World Championships, they won since 2013. Fourth straight. So definitely a huge trend for women's team and a great, great point to jump off from and get the ball really rolling with their fourth win at the Four Nations Cup.
Yeah, I really love following the players in the U.S. like Hillary Knight. I think they're great role models for honestly not only the women but the guys in America and as well. So I'm really kudos to them, and I can't wait to keep watching how they're doing. Our next piece of news, the IIHF Development Cup in Germany. Caleb, tell us how the team stacked up there.
Well, you know what? Macedonia won their first – sorry. Macedonia won their first ever official tournament in the IIHF Development Cup this year. So that was very exciting. They had to face off against Portugal in that final game. And Ireland and Androna got third and fourth in that.
Yeah, so the Development Cup, it's obviously for nations that aren't able to participate in the World Championship program for whatever reason. Ireland obviously isn't because of their lack of a rink, which is a requirement by the IIHF to participate in these. But I love this tournament. I love that these countries in Europe are able to get together and do a tournament similar to the our first piece of news that with the Latin America countries. So it can only grow the game. And I think hockey, it's really is getting more popular in all these countries. And I really think it's just over the next 2, 3 decades, I can't wait to see how hockey progresses in like smaller countries like this, because I'm sure so they're going to turn out to spruce up some stars and just start getting players in like big European leagues, and who knows from there. And I think it's also really good to meet in like with the Latin America tournament, it was at the Florida Panthers. This is in Germany, so they meet in a big hockey country, so they're able to like see real talent, like really high talent, and be able to strive for
Absolutely. And
something and see how
play
much
at a
fun this
real
game
rink
is.
as well. A
Yeah,
super
absolutely.
deluxe rink. So that was exciting.
So.
Moving our next piece of news comes also on the national stage. Jágr was announced a couple weeks ago as the face of the 2022 Olympics held in China. So that there's a little bit of uncertainty. I couldn't find any conclusive details onto what that really means. If that means that he's, I'm sure, I mean, he'll be in lots of photos for promotional content for the games, but I don't know if that also means that he'll be commentating during or after games, or I don't know what to the extent that even really means, but if anybody should get that title, I think definitely Jágr would be the person to do it. He's been doing some bunch of stuff in China. He's been the face of a bunch of ads that were put out by Huawei, a Chinese manufacturer of smartphones, which just has Jágr being normal Jágr, wearing like a suit or something with a little bit of stubble and looking very sexual or confused and definitely exciting, paired with a phone. So I mean, I'm looking at one ad with him, slicked back hair, looking very intense, staring straight at the camera, and then these giant smartphones superimposed next to him. So he's definitely been bankrolling with Huawei on these photo shoots. So, and there's also been a little bit of rumors of him possibly playing for China's KHL team at some point. So, this is definitely not surprising that Jágr was the pick for this title of Olympic hockey ambassador.
Yeah, I think you summed it up really well, and I think a face like him in China will help grow the game there a little bit as well. And I'm really excited for the 2022 Olympics. Obviously, 4 years away, but never too early to start talking about the next Olympics, because I just love the Olympics, and I can't wait for the U.S. to win one in our lifetime.
Yeah, and I'm sure there
Our
will
net.
be more news coming down the pipe in the 4 years before it happens. So we'll keep you guys updated for sure.
But next on our list is something that Caleb and I have, something that we're super hyped about, because it's something that we've wanted for a long time, and many, many people have wanted for a long time.
Exactly.
It's that no more shootouts in World Championship gold medal games. And I mean, the amount of people that have been just so mad at the International Ice Hockey Federation for choosing to put a shootout in their gold medal games is staggering. I mean, to decide, NHL hates the fact, like, even deciding regular season games. Like, that's why they introduced the 3-on-3 in the first place, because coaches just hated them getting ended in shootouts. So to have this finally come to fruition is something that was a long time in the making, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very small, I mean, in the scheme of things, because it's just IIHF and it's just for gold medal games, so it's not even for bronze game. but I think it is emblematic of maybe a trend that finally the people that make these decisions that are at the top of these organizing these tournaments are kind of starting to listen and understand that it's kind of a little ridiculous to decide these games, as you said, with the shootout. So who knows, maybe that'll translate to other huge tournaments as well. And soon there will be no shootouts. And yeah,
I
and it's
agree
just
with
a
him.
3-on-3, as you said. It's not even a 5-on-5. It's
Yeah, so there is, it still is a little sketch because it's 3-on-3 until someone scores, and it's a 20-minute period. And then if it goes 20 minutes, they'll resurface the ice again. But I don't see it ever going 20 minutes on a 3-on-3 with that many skilled players on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. But you never know.
You never know. Next, we have the Euro Hockey Tour, and there's so many tournaments in Europe. We just kind of wanted to like read them off and kind of just tell you where maybe your favorite team stacks up and kind of just delve into it. Russia had a really great month. Russia's top team won the Karjala Cup, beating Finland, Sweden, and the Czechs, and their second team also won the Deutschland Cup over Switzerland, Slovakia, and Germany in that order of final rankings. And Caleb, you were saying how it's kind of ridiculous that Russia gets two teams.
Yeah, I do find it a little strange. I mean, I understand they're a big country and they have a lot of talent, but it is a little strange that they get kind of their varsity team and their house team or whatever, two teams that get to play in two separate tournaments, whereas these other teams only get to play in one of them. But I mean, definitely, I don't know, definitely notable that they won both the tournaments that they're allowed to enter into. So I don't know,
Yeah,
Russian
it definitely
hockey is
shows
getting
their strength.
a little intense lately. I mean, they won last Olympics and
That was a game I'll never forget.
yes, that was a sad game. Definitely rooting for Germany, but their hockey program is getting pretty intense as of late. So be interesting to see 2022 what type of team they can put together.
Next, Poland hosted a Four Nations tournament of their own, and Austria won that. And on that note, I just want to quickly point out how one of my current Japanese teammates is actually in Poland right now in the under 20 Division 1B World Championships. So definitely shout out to Kai Sugimoto. I'm definitely rooting for you. US, or, sorry, not the US. Japan was promoted last year into this tournament, so they're definitely the underdogs going in, but I'm really hoping they can stay up there and hopefully medal and who knows, maybe move up. You never know. So good luck to him and Matt Prescott's homeland of Poland.
Right.
And next, Kazakhstan, they had a tournament. They ended up beating Korea, Hungary, and Italy. Kazakhstan always kind of been up there as a like borderline top team. And IIHF, so no big surprise there. And then rounding this out, Latvia recently demoted from the top division. I'm sorry, Latvia, who beat the recently demoted Belarus, wanted to win a tournament, and Belarus ended up with second, France third, and then Slovenia fourth. So Belarus not looking too hot after finally they were demoted last year in the World Championships. Lot losing this tournament. I really don't see them. I still, Latvia obviously is in the top division this year, so obviously they lost to a team that is technically higher than them. I definitely see Belarus moving back up to the top division this year in the World Championships, but I think this just is another sign that Belarus has a long ways to go to kind of get back to their prominence from even 5 years ago when they were hosting the World Championships in Minsk.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Baltic Championship that would be great to talk about as well. The clubs for the 2019-2020 season was announced this past month, which include Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. They're going to play during autumn and until December for the title.
Yeah, so this is kind of the Baltic Championship. I'm really excited for this next season. It's basically three countries with very small domestic leagues that are kind of going to merge together for just this one tournament, to decide who's the best of those three. And I'm really excited for them to bring their teams together because, just like we've been saying, it only can bring up the level of play and bring better teams to play better teams. So it's going to make the best players from one country play the best players from another country and just increase the overall standard of hockey in those countries, I think. So I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, absolutely. These tournaments are – can't say enough good things about these tournaments.
Yeah. And obviously, because these are such smaller domestic leagues, I think it might bring the spotlight onto these domestic leagues more and on this championship and maybe get those teams more fans and, who knows, more money and just so I'm excited for that. And next, we have another news story. It's our last one today for you. And it's Alder Mannheim defenseman Thomas Larkin is going to be prosecuted for his blindsided hit on Swedish forward Daniel Pye. He was playing in the Champions Hockey League for Swedish club. And this happened last November in Champions Hockey League. And because of this hit, Pye was forced to step away from professional hockey and had to focus on rehabilitation from his injuries and just a very, very severe
condition. Yeah, that was.
And this really hits home for me because when the Bruins won the 2011 Stanley Cup, Daniel Pye was one of my absolute favorite players because he wasn't a superstar, but he gave 110% every shift. And you could just see how much he cared about playing for his teammates and how hard he worked. And that's just always a trait that I found so attractive. And I just loved how hard of a worker he was. And for some guy, like, to see, you can find his hit so easily. If you just type in, like, Daniel Pye, hey, Champions Hockey League hit, you'll find it right away. I mean, it's too bad this happened in the first place, but I just wanted to kind of bring light to the fact that it's happening in the first place. But it's really too bad.
Yeah, awful.
I'm a big proponent.
Awful hit to watch. I mean, makes you totally, totally cringe. He was coming around. The puck was coming around right behind the net, and he was breaking out of the zone, and just he wasn't anywhere near the puck, and just got shoulder right to the face. Went down instantly. It was a tough one of those tough hits to watch.
Absolutely barbaric. So we probably won't follow up on this, but other than the fact that we hope Pye gets a lot better really quickly. And
yeah, we wish absolutely sad that he needed to step away from hockey for a little bit to rehabilitate from that concussion. I mean, right, yeah, absolutely hope he'll be better soon.
Very similar to Mark Savard. Mark Savard was one of the Bruins' absolute best players. And then he got hit very badly, a series of concussions in 2011 that kind of ended up ruining his career. so pretty similar to that. And just no spot, no place in hockey for dirty plays like that. I'm all for physicality. I love the physical aspect of the game. It's one of my favorite parts. But no room in the game for dirty shit like that.
Yeah, so definitely would be interesting to see how that goes prosecuting him for that hit, though. So you want to touch on our country highlight for this month?
I would love to. So this month we're going to do one that's kind of relevant. Like we always try to do one that's kind of relevant. We're going to talk about Argentina. Argentina obviously was just in the tournament we mentioned above. So we think it would be kind of interesting to talk about them. So they've been a member of the IIHF since May 31st, 1998. They have 1,060 players in their country, 630 male, 140 junior, 290 female. They have 34 referees. They have 4 indoor rinks, 1 outdoor rink, and they're an associate member, meaning that they can't play in the World Championship system as of right now. I think Argentina is a really cool country to talk about because Argentina goes very, very south to like the South Pole, south. And they actually have an outdoor rink in the southernmost city in the entire world. And I think that's so cool. You can find pictures of it, and it's just absolutely breathtaking. And it's such a beautiful city, and it just like seemed it's picturesque to see people play hockey there, and they absolutely love it there. And you can find more about them on Facebook. And they won bronze the year before at the 2017 Pan American Tournament. Argentina, they had their tournament's biggest ever win in the Pan American Tournament over 26-0 against Chile. And I think they're a really fascinating country, and I just kind of wanted to, what do you think, Kale? What do you think the future is for them? Do you think they'll ever have like they'll have the resources to kind of join the World Championship program?
Yeah, I mean it's interesting that they really have a pretty awesome team, but they I would have loved to see that they had more junior players. I mean we covered Luxembourg last month, and Luxembourg, which is I mean definitely has a smaller hockey. I mean they only had 16 female adult players, and they still had 260 youth players. So I mean it would have been great to see a little bit more junior
Yeah,
players.
it is
Yeah,
kind of flipped.
especially because I mean there's it's as I said such a larger population of hockey players and a much larger population in general of just the country. But we'll see. Maybe that statistic doesn't reflect their growth completely, but hopefully they'll be able to turn out some new young talent. They definitely have a pretty good team in comparison to other South American and Central American hockey programs. They have a pretty good record. I mean, they've beat Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, beat a whole bunch of different teams, but be interesting to see. On the long term, though, as I said, it would definitely be great to see a little more junior players playing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited. I think if any of these South American countries have more popularity in like street hockey, I think Argentina and maybe Colombia have the best shots of joining the World Championship program, and I really hope they end up making it over. So next we're going to go on to our transfers section of the podcast, and we have just a handful of players that we want to talk about. First, we want to talk about an American player, Shane Prince. He was playing for HC Davos in Switzerland, and he had 16 games over there, and he recorded 3 goals and 3 assists, which is pretty low for an import player on a team over there. So he ended up having going over to Siberia in the KHL, and he played for the Islanders the past couple of years. European hockey can be really great for some players who maybe aren't big enough to play in the NHL, but are super skilled. And then you'll see players that are better than those players in the NHL, but when they move over to Europe, the game is so much different that they kind of had a hard time adjusting at first. And I think this is kind of one of those cases.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem he's doing a little bit better with Siberia. I mean, he's only played 6 games and he already has 2 goals, 2 assists. So, who knows? Maybe he'll do a little bit better. But I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know. He doesn't seem like he's that small of a guy. I mean, he's 5'11" and almost 200 pounds.
Yeah, he seems like a bigger guy, kind of like that's why I'm saying he might his game style of game might have been a little bit more aggressive or something, so it might have taken him a little bit harder of a time to
Right,
adjust to the European
which
game.
as you know, to some degree is definitely very different than American hockey or Canadian hockey for that matter.
Next we have Jonathan Bloom, who's going to Dynamo Minsk. I just want to put this on here because he played for the United States at the Olympics of 2018, and I just want to wish them the best. I had a lot of fun watching him try to win a medal last year for the U.S., and I think they did a really honorable job last year. So, shout out to him. Next, Christian Vesalainen. He was loaned to Jokerit from the Winnipeg Jets. I think this guy's going to be a super good player. I think it was a smart move for the Jets to not send him to the AHL or anything and let him go home, kind of grow his game. He's playing a little bit in the AHL as well, but I think overall, just good call on the Jets. What do you think, Caleb, of kind of like NHL teams lending their players instead of having them develop in their own like
Yeah,
AHL teams?
I think it's mixed. I mean, wow, this guy is huge, first of all. He's 6'4", over 200 pounds. He's definitely a meaty Finnish dude. But anyway, I mean, I mixed things. I think that it's mentally probably pretty good on the players. I mean, he's only 19, and so I think it's really difficult for him to be in a whole different country playing on some development team. But on the other hand, just in a complete skill level position, I do think it's better experience playing, as we spoke earlier, playing more of American hockey, just to kind of get your head around these are the types of players I'll be playing with. This is kind of how things roll. I mean, when you're at such a high level of hockey, I think that you're able to adapt probably a little bit better than somebody who is not quite as experienced. But I think in some ways it might have been more important for him to be able to kind of get used to how the pace of hockey works, at least in terms of what the Jets could do to get the most out of him.
Yeah, I think that's well put, and I think he has obviously a good idea of what he needs to get better at over in his time in Finland, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of time to adjust while he's
Yeah,
there.
and the KHL, I mean, compared
So,
to other European leagues, maybe. I mean, it's still pretty physical.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, KHL is a great league. Many would argue it's better than the AHL. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he'll do good there, and I think he'll get better and
Yeah,
be a
definitely an
really good asset
exciting
to the
player to
Jets,
look
the
out
team they need.
for, only 19.
Next, quick, we have Johnny Boychuk, not Johnny Boychuk, Zach Boychuk, Johnny Boychuk's brother. He's going from Severstal in the KHL to SC Bern in Switzerland. So, Zach Boychuk, he was in up and down in the AHL to NHL for so long before finally going over and playing the KHL. So I wish him the best of luck. I love Johnny Boychuk, his brother, so I'm excited to see what he
Yeah, I mean,
does.
he just wasn't quite putting up the numbers in the NHL. I mean, he was close, but he wasn't really quite putting up the numbers in the NHL. And he was also, I mean, he was playing okay in the AHL, but yeah, it's interesting. We'll see how he does for SC Bern in the season. So it's definitely exciting to look out for him as well.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to be a long term?
I think he'll thrive. I think he'll thrive there. I'd like to see him stay with the team for a few years because I think you get when you bring consistency to yourself, you can kind of just get used to the culture there more, get used to whatever it is, and I think it can help you as a player when you stay in the same spot for a little
Yeah, I
longer.
agree. I mean, he broke into international hockey the beginning of 2016, playing for Sibir, and so I don't know. I think he can probably adapt to it. I think he'll do very well. So we'll see if he's found a new home or not.
The next player we're going to talk about is one that I'm really excited to talk about. It's Sean Day, who was granted, he's of course, he was granted exceptional status by Hockey Canada to go into the major juniors a year early. Of course, he did not turn out like the previous three, John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad, and Connor McDavid going first overall. He went, I believe, in the third round to the New York Rangers. This is his first year pro. He ended up winning a Memorial Cup last year. What's really exciting about this guy is, for me and you, is he's playing right now in our home state for the new ECHL team, the Maine Mariners, and he's doing really well. He has 3 goals and 9 assists in 14 games played. And I watch all their highlights on YouTube, and he is right in the thick of all the plays, like scoring goals, making big hits. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of people might be really quick to write this guy off, but I think he had a tough time dealing with some pressures that were put on him, and I could see him making a comeback. I think he's going to get another shot. He played 6 games for Hartford in the AHL this year before getting sent down to Maine. And I could see him going back up to Hartford maybe January and February, going joining them for maybe if the Hartford makes the playoffs. And I could see him making the NHL in a year or
Yeah, I
two.
mean, let's hope so. He's only 20 years old, and so I mean, yeah, he's our age. So
He's our
I
age.
mean, first of all, as you mentioned, I can't even imagine the type of pressure that's put on you, being able to go up early and getting that pass. But I mean, he's only 20. I think that regardless of what type of pressure he was under and how he's performed, I mean, he absolutely has the ability to turn things around and be able to be an NHL asset for sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm hoping to see him when I go back to Maine and around February. I'm hoping to get to a Maine Mariners game and maybe he'll still be there. So hopefully that happens soon. Next, Thomas Plekanec. Montreal Canadiens asked him basically mutually to retire, and he did. And now he's back in the Czech Republic playing for two teams. One of them is Kladno with Jager. He's played 3 games there and has 2 goals. I think it's just kind of crazy. I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool when players go back and play for like their hometown. I mean, it's something I'm curious maybe if Char will do when his NHL when he finally retires from the NHL, if he goes back and plays in Slovakia for Dolka Trenčín. But Caleb, you're definitely more of a Czech Republic fan than I am. So what do you think of all
Yeah, I
this?
mean it's yeah, very exciting player. He is like a, I mean he's a run of the mill veteran. He's played all over the place, and he's been playing for the Canadiens since like 2005, I believe. So 2003, excuse me. And so I mean he's had a long history with them, and he's been absolutely putting up numbers and doing well historically, but I think his age got to him to some degree, and so they want him to retire so they can make room for new talent. And so I'm hopeful though that he'll do really well in Kladno. Kladno is a great team.
I want to see
Yeah,
Kladno move back up to the top
it's
division.
totally shocking that they're sadly not in the top division, but I can't imagine that that will last for
I
long.
mean, hopefully Jager's
Yeah,
not
you know
playing
what?
right
If he
now.
played, it could make a
Yeah,
difference, but
hopefully Jager. I'm sure it will.
anyway,
So
yeah,
we wish him the
absolutely.
best of luck and let's help him out. I hate the Canadians, but I love Kladno because of you, and I'm really hoping he can help Kladno out and get them back in the top division. But now we're going to go on to our last topic of the day, our international topic, something we kind of just want to discuss within the realm of international hockey. And kind of just a good question I thought we should bring up is should China get an automatic bid to be in the 2022 Olympics? And Caleb, just right off the bat, what do you think? What's your gut act like? What's your gut answer if you just had yes or no? Do you think they
Well,
should
you
be
know what?
allowed in
As
the
far as
2022
I
Olympics?
know, there is not really a set in stone rule for in terms of ice hockey if the host country should be allowed to compete. I think it's just kind of determined in a case by case basis. But I believe that they should at least, I mean, I think this is kind of a liberal view. But I think they should at least at one point, even if they aren't currently in Division One, I feel like at least at one point they should have been able to, they should have played at that level of hockey to be able to enter in. I mean, in China is just like not, I don't know if they think that there would be some crazy movie-worthy comeback story that they could possibly do, but I mean, there is no possible way that they could win any games in that tournament.
Yeah, it's really interesting because we have to pair, like, kind of compare it to what Korea did. Korea had been in Division 1B for many, many years, and then they started adding very good import players, giving them dual citizenship, and then they moved up to D1A. And before the Olympics, they were in the top division. They got moved down, but they were in the top division. And South Korea had a lot of time without NHL players at the Olympics and didn't even win a game. On the other hand, China has never played in Division One. They don't allow dual citizenship, so they can't get players with dual citizenship. They have a lot of players, like, for example, on their China Dragons team, who aren't stars in the KHL, obviously, but they are good players who have some North American experience and Chinese roots. Maybe their parents are Chinese, but they don't want to give up their American or Canadian citizenship. Just to play for the Olympics. A lot of them are debating it, so it's a really hard situation for them. And with the Olympics 4 years away, there is still time to get these players in. But right now, as it is, their national team is in Division 2A. And I just think it's really a tough spot. I mean, I want to see the game grow everywhere in the world. I want it to grow in China. But I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, hockey definitely is growing in Canada. And, but as you said, Canada. Yeah, hockey is growing in Canada. China. Hockey is growing in China, but thanks for calling me out. But as you said, they're not quite there yet. I have read, though, that IHF president Rene Fassel did mention that he does intend to qualify them for the Olympics, pending a Congress decision, though. But nothing set in stone. He likened it to South Korea's qualification as a host country. But, I mean, I don't think it's quite the same, as you mentioned.
I mean, they would... I mean, South Korea, they were iffy on. And South Korea, without any imports, were still way, way better than China. So, I mean, we'll see if China can get those imports, maybe, and or players with the Chinese descent. Regardless, China has been putting in so many resources. Like, they want to be in the Olympics. They obviously have a KHL team. Jager's the ambassador. I have a friend from Norway. China Dragons have a junior team that's through their realm of their organization that plays in Latvia. And I have a friend from Norway who's playing on that team, actually. The China Dragons have an affiliated women's pro team that plays in the CWHL in Canada. You can tell China they have the resources, they have the money. They just don't have the talent right now, and they don't have the luxury to give players who have Chinese descent, who are very good players, dual citizenship. So it's an interesting spot. I bet they do get in the Olympics, and I bet it is.
Yeah.
I bet they're beating short-lived. Very badly. And another thing is very short-lived. Like, South Korea, they had chances to win games. I don't think China's going to have a chance to win a game. But I hope I'm wrong. I mean, if they prove me wrong, I mean, good for them. I'd love to see them bring a competitive team. I'd love to see Asian hockey do it. In 1998, my current coach, played in the Olympics for Japan, and they won games. Like, that's crazy. They didn't have imports. They just beat teams in the Olympics. Like, that a tournament that Wayne Gretzky was in. So, like, I mean, a lot of people don't think Japan has very good hockey, but, I mean – you can see like Asian countries definitely can thrive at ice hockey. I mean, it's a sport really anyone can play. It's obviously a very expensive sport, but China has the money, and I think they're going to
Yeah,
build the resources
that's
there.
what it really comes to.
I'm excited right now.
China
People
does have
play.
the money. So, hopefully, if not now, somewhere down the road, they do definitely improve their program even more than they have in the last decade.
Yeah, and another thing is, if China does get into the Olympics, I hope they don't take the spot of another team. I hope the normal, I think it's, I hope, I forget the exact number. Like, is it 12 teams that make the Olympics? I hope those 12 teams make it, and then China gets like stacked on as a 13th. But it, like, if China has to kick out another team, I
Oh,
think that's
yeah.
ludicrous, and I don't think that should happen because there are other teams that work
Absolutely.
so hard. So I don't think that'll
Absolutely.
matter at all.
Especially, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not really 100% down with China getting into the Olympics in the first place because I don't think they can compete at the level. But especially, I mean, especially if they kicked out a team that, as you said, worked their ass off to get into the tournament. That would be definitely awful. But yeah, I think
Yeah,
that's
so
that covers our final topic. This has been a pretty good fourth podcast. We kept it short for you guys. I tried to cut down a little bit on the fluff.
yeah, a lot shorter. We were able a little bit on the fluff, kind of like make it more streamlined, kind of talk about stuff that we're more passionate about, that we understand a little bit more. Keep giving us your feedback. Thanks again to the National ice hockey teams page. We really appreciate that. Again, like, our podcast is on like every single podcast app, and it's on YouTube. We'd love if you subscribed and commented there. I'm actually, just 2 days ago, I bought tickets to go to LA in late February. So I'm sure Caleb and I will hopefully film an episode together in person. It'll probably sound a lot better and be a lot better. So I'm super excited not only to see my best friend again, but to hopefully get a chance to podcast with him if we get the chance,
Yeah,
and
that
just
would be absolutely
spend some time in
groundbreaking.
LA.
Maybe we can do it somewhere cool as well. Make a whole thing out of it. But
Oh yeah, that'd be
until
fun.
then, really until next month, I guess. Until January 4th, which I will be recording in Maine if we record on time. So
Which hopefully we do. Obviously, this month we are a little bit late. That just had to do with school. We're both
yeah,
very busy,
but even if
so
we were
it'd be
this
kind of
late,
hard
I
to.
think I'd still record it in Maine. So, very exciting, something to look forward to, our fifth
Yeah.
episode.
So.
It's sad to say goodbye to our fourth, but I think it was special. Let us know in your comments. We love any type of feedback you can give us.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if four people enjoy the show, it's Caleb and I enjoy doing it because it's just like a passion
Yeah.
project for us to have fun with. So thank you so much. And Caleb,
Yeah.
love you. Can't wait to see you. I hope you have a great time with all the Mets in Maine and you smash it
I
out.
will indeed, and I'm actually looking forward to playing some hockey. Get to Maine. I know Chase has been playing hockey ever since he left,
Oh,
but
yeah, with
I haven't
Prescott.
played hockey for like a year, I think. So, be very exciting to get back on the skates, hopefully.
Wow,
Hopefully,
that's
I don't
crazy.
kill myself, but we will see. I think I'm playing in the
I'm sure
right.
you'll
I
be a
think I'm playing in the
superstar like I
alumni
wish.
game that our high school has. So I'll definitely give you guys updates of how that shook down in contrast to the international hockey world in January.
I'm
But
excited.
as of now, have yes.
Before Caleb, we sign off, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the Camden Hills Regional High School hockey team. I just say that they are 1-1 right now. They just have their big road trip up north to Maine. It's something our high school teams are doing for, I think, 5 or 6 years now, where we have a big, big long road trip and play two games up in Northern Maine. They went 1-1 in the weekend, and I just want to give them a shout out. I'm excited to go back and practice with them when I'm home. And best of luck to them, and best of luck to you
Yeah,
and
hopefully
alumni
I'll
games
get
together.
a Chase Matteo 4-goal hat trick. But we'll see. We'll see.
I'm
As
sure
of
you
now,
will.
though, Chase, have a good rest of your morning. And we'll talk next month.
And Caleb,
All
you have a
right,
great
take it
night.
easy.
Love you.